Go ahead and open your Bibles to Exodus this morning. We prepare to look at our passage. It's going to begin in chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 28 where we left off last time we were in Exodus, and we will go through verse 7 of chapter 7 this morning. So again, we're going to begin in 6, verse 28, and go through chapter 7 and verse 7. As we prepare to open the Word, hear from the Lord, let us pray to the God of grace. As we sang, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You know, that's a prayer. As you sang that, I hope you sang that as a prayer. As you're asking God to bring the fount of every blessing. You know what that fount is, don't you? It is the grace of God. It's the very grace of God that chains us to Him when we want to depart. The very grace of God that will bring us all the way through until the day that we can sing of His sovereign grace when we're in His presence. And even the grace of God that will hold us there forever. It's a powerful thing. So I pray that we all pray together as we come before His Word, that God's grace would be amongst us. And it even takes His grace to even understand what He's saying. It takes His grace to sit there and breathe and live. I wonder how much we realize how reliant we are on His grace. Every single day, every person that's alive is relying on His grace. Us much more so. For saving grace. To the word of the Lord. What is He saying to us this morning? Verse 28 begins this way. Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you. But Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. So you shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And when Pharaoh will not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. So Moses and Aaron did it. As the Lord commanded them, thus they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83, when they spoke to Pharaoh. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning as we come before Your Word. You speak to us even now. God, I pray that as we worship You during this time of listening to Your Word, that You would lead us as we sing. Father, You're our shepherd. We're Your people. So I pray You lead us through Your Word, through Your truth. Illumine our hearts and minds as only You can. Lead me as I speak. Don't let me go to the right or the left. But to speak truth as You speak it. To be Your messenger. Lord, we need You. Every hour we need You. So may You come. Speak by Your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the last time we were in Exodus, if you remember, we looked at a genealogy that highlighted Moses and Aaron because they were about to become these leaders, the most important leaders in the nation of Israel at that time. And we noticed that above the other, Aaron was actually highlighted more than Moses, which is surprising, but not surprising when you consider what God was about to do through Aaron and about to establish the high priestly office through Aaron and his descendants. So we went through this important information because of the foundation that God was establishing and laying here before his people. But now as we come to our passage today, we're actually going to pick up right where the genealogy first began. In other words, when we went to the genealogy last time, it's like the pause button was pushed for a moment, right? Didn't it feel that way? It's like we're in our story. Whoops, stop. Just a minute. Let's look at this genealogy as we lay this foundation. And now today, we're just going to pick up right where we were before the genealogy even occurred in our story. And we're going to pick up Moses and where he was, where we last saw him. Now, where was Moses? Moses was he was before the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to him, and he's speaking to the Lord, right? Moses has gone through this great discouragement. He's gone to Pharaoh. He didn't listen. And then he went to the children of Israel, and he brought him the message. They brought them the message of all the I wills. This is what the Lord will do. They wouldn't listen to him either. And so now he's back before the Lord having this wrestling dialogue as God prepares him one more time before the big showdown, right? And so that's what we have in our passage this morning. So the question comes, what can we learn from this dialogue between God and Moses? Because we've actually seen most of this, if not exactly, at least very close to this. It appears that they have to have this similar conversation that they've had before. So what can we learn? Well, it's not part of the sermon, but always remember, if God's repeating something, it's important for us, right? So right there, right off the bat, it's like, okay, God wants me to hear this. But what we can learn? Can we learn? I think we can learn a lot. I think we can learn a lot about ourselves in this, actually. Because we were listening in Sunday school, right? Because of Adam, we're fallen. And, you know, in our fallen nature, not even in our fallen nature, but just in our finite nature, we have a lack of wisdom and knowledge. God has all wisdom and knowledge. We don't. We sometimes fail to see that. And so because of that, we see things not quite as clearly as they are, and we don't see ourselves and things about ourselves the way they truly are. And the only way that changes is if by the light of God's Word, by His grace, He'll show us the truth and let that help correct our thinking and therefore our living before Him as we go. So actually, as we look through this passage, I think we can see several things about ourselves that we often get wrong as we walk before the Lord. What do I mean? Well, the first one is this. We often see our abilities wrongly as we walk before the Lord. We see our abilities wrongly. Look at verse 28 through verse 2. I'll read those again for you. It says, "Now it came about on the day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you.'" But now Moses, right? Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I'm unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh that he let the sons of Israel go out of his land." Now, as I said before, just a moment ago, when we pick up our passage here in verse 28, we're just picking up where we left off right before the genealogy, and where this is where Moses and God were having a conversation. And we see God speaks this to Moses, right? He's telling him again, once again, go and lay before Pharaoh the charge to let my people go. But notice he says that, I'm the Lord your God, speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I speak to you. Now, here's a side note right off the bat. Now, it's not really that much of a side note because you'll see it'll correlate right into the sermon later on. But at this point, it kind of appears as a side note, so I'll give it to you this way. Here's the truth. If you're ever in a position where you're God's messenger and you're speaking, and I don't care if you're speaking to a stadium full of people or you're speaking to your children at home or you're speaking to somebody one-on-one as a witness, let us never shun nor neglect to give the whole counsel of God. God says, speak all that I speak to you. He expected his servants to be faithful and to speak everything and not to go to the right or the left, not to let off, delete some things or add some things on. You know, in our own wisdom, we think there are things in God's word that we don't really need to speak, right? We know better than the Lord. Or in fear, because of what response we might get, we leave some of it off and God says, no, no, no. Just like he tells Moses, you go speak all that I tell you to speak. So as God's messengers, don't shun or neglect to speak the whole counsel of God. This is what he calls us to do. Now, as we pick up our story, look at Moses. He didn't have that problem, did he? Moses wasn't trying to take away part of God's word or add to it. Moses just didn't want to go, right? He says, Lord, I'm a man of unskilled speech. How will Pharaoh listen to me? This should be very familiar to us by now, right? Moses has said this before. More than once, he has used this excuse for not going. He's still trying to convince the Lord that he's not the man for the job. Now, at this point, this is at least the third time Moses has used this excuse for not doing what God has told him to do. Or trying to use the excuse for not doing what God has told him to do. And at this point, as we look at it, knowing the story, isn't it? It's kind of easy for us to get a little frustrated with Moses and say, Moses, you know, come on, are you really going to go back to the same old tired excuse? And we know the end of the story. Just trust the Lord. He's going to do what needs to be done, right? But brothers and sisters, this is no different than anybody, any of us, right? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that we use the same old tired excuses for not doing what God has told us to do over and over again? We have the same tendencies Moses has. Sometimes it takes Christians years to get past the same old excuses for not giving, for not going, for not witnessing, right? For not serving, for not praying. Whatever, you name it, whatever God's clearly told you to do, you use the same old excuses over and over again. It takes a while for God to get us past those things. So he's getting Moses past this. Now, when we fall into that, right, we need to learn a couple of things like Moses did here. First of all, notice God was not asking Moses for a volunteer, was he? This really wasn't a matter up for discussion. God said, Moses, you go. Right? It's a command there in that verse, right? It's an imperative. That's what we call a command. God says go. And notice what he grounds the command in. He doesn't have to. It's implied. But he does it outright. He says at the beginning of the verse, or in verse 29, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, what did he say? I am the Lord. Now go. Right? So God is basing his command in the fact that he's God. He's the Lord God of all the creation. And so because of that, right, he has the right to tell Moses to do anything, just like he has the same right to tell us to do anything. When God gives us any command, any instruction in his word, he has the right to tell us to because he's God. And they're not matters up for discussion. We don't get to, well, God, I don't know if you're seeing this quite right, or you just don't know me. You know, God, we just need to trust the Lord, right, and not use these same old excuses over and over again. God didn't make us uniquely in a way different than anybody else in the world so that we can't do what he's called us to do. You know, God knows what he's doing. If we're not, if it doesn't look right, well, then we're the one not seeing it rightly. So we got to trust the Lord. God has the authority to tell us whatever he wants to do. We need to see that. You know, at this time, we think we get a little frustrated with Moses. You would think God would get very frustrated with Moses by now. Third time, right? I mean, the fact that Moses is just denying the authority of God when he says this. Don't we understand this frustration? Well, with our own children? This whole authority thing. You ever tell your children to clean their rooms, to do their homework, to do their chores, you name it. And how many times do you get the same old tired excuses for why they don't do what you've told them to do? And when that happens, you know, the sense of justice comes out. It's like you're rebelling against authority and you have no right to do. What are you doing, right? And it's real easy to get real hard in this situation. But aren't you glad God doesn't do that with us? God's so gentle and so patient. I think about all the times when I rebel against the authority of God, whether I outright do it or not, when I just, oh God, I can't do that. I give the same old excuses. God's so gentle and so patient to get me where He wants me to be. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm just praying that God would help me be able to live that out in my life toward my children and anybody under my authority. Look what He does with Moses. You know, He didn't have to answer Moses, but He does. You know, Moses says, Lord, I'm unskilled in speech for the third time. God's already told him why this doesn't cut it. But he says it again. And he says, how will Pharaoh listen to me? And God answers him, right? He says, Moses, it'll be okay, right? You need to go because, one, you'll be like God to Pharaoh. Now, this doesn't mean that Moses all of a sudden becomes and takes on divinity, right? He's not going to be God. But in Pharaoh's presence, it'll be the same as if God is speaking to Pharaoh. He's going to be going in the authority and power of God Himself as He goes before Pharaoh. And understand this, brothers and sisters, when God calls us to do something, that's where we want to go and how we want to go. We don't want to go in the power of our skills. Moses is worried that the accomplishment of the mission is going to be resting on his ability to speak or not. And God's telling him, no, you're going to be like God to Pharaoh. You're going to go in my authority and my power. This is what will accomplish the mission. It's me. It's not you. Just go and listen to me. See, this is where we misunderstand our abilities all the time. We believe, like Moses believes, that the crux of the mission rises and falls on our ability to do what He's called us to do. Right? That, like there's something innate in us that we can accomplish through our skills or abilities that God has given us. And that's just not true. We see those abilities wrongly all the time. It's not got anything to do with us. If we go, we want to make sure we go in God's power and His authority. And that's what He tells Moses. Secondly, if there's anything we lack, God's going to give it to us. Right? He tells him, he said, not only will you be like God, he said, but Aaron will be your prophet and he will speak to Pharaoh, right? So, yes, you can't speak that well, but Aaron, he's got all A's in speech and he's going to be going with you and you're going to speak to him and he's going to speak to Pharaoh for you. You know, you think you lack something, don't you think I know I will take care of that, right? Got to see our abilities rightly. And along with that, we always see our inabilities, right, as some lacking thing in us that God doesn't see, and He's not able to take care of. But actually, they're part of the plan, right? Don't you think, sometimes we can look at this and Moses can't speak that well. There was, you know, a lack of speaking ability. Apparently, that's why he brings Aaron in. But it's not like Moses had a lack and God's got to try. Okay, Moses can't speak that well. I got to figure out a way to make up for this. So I'm going to bring his brother Aaron. No. It was part of the plan all along for Aaron to be the speaker so that he would be a prophet and that Moses would be like God to Pharaoh. Do you understand? Pharaoh would know exactly what was going on when he walks in and he speaks to Aaron and Aaron speaks to him, right? Because the Pharaohs actually had this practice of their own. Remember who Pharaoh thought he was? Pharaoh believed himself to be a god. Guess how he used to speak to his people? He would often use what they would call a prophet. He would speak to them and then they would in turn speak to the people. Why? This would keep the distance and would remind the people of who Pharaoh claimed to be, that he's divine authority. Well, who do you think you are, Moses, coming here and using a prophet speaking to me? See, this was part of God's plan. Part of God's plan was for that Moses would have to speak through Aaron, and then Aaron would speak to Pharaoh so that Moses would be like God to Pharaoh, because God wanted Pharaoh to know who it was speaking to him. He wanted to know this just wasn't a man coming in demanding things and claiming things. He wanted to know that God Himself was speaking to him. And so the inability of Moses was just as much a part of God's plan as his abilities. And this is what we've got to understand, is that it's not about our abilities. It never is. God's given us whatever we need to do, whatever we want to do. And if we lack something, He'll make sure He gives it to us to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. See, the crux of the mission, right? God gives us a task. Oh, I can't do that because something in me is not what it... No. The crux of the mission never depends on you and your ability, right? God calls Moses to do what? Go speak. Just do what I tell you to do. All right? That determines the success of the mission, not what Moses thought. And that brings us to the second part. We often see wrongly about ourselves. We see our abilities wrongly, but we see our hearts wrongly. And you'll see what I mean. Verses 3-5. God says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. And when Pharaoh will not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and will bring out my host, my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst." Now see, here God continues to speak to Moses and he begins to tell Moses how things are going to happen. He says, you know, Moses, you're going to go and speak to him, right? I'm going to tell you, you go speak, you tell him this, but Moses, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. You can say it however you want to say it. You can perform as many signs as you want going to perform it as I tell you to, but he will not listen to you. Pharaoh will be the epitome of unbelief. He will be that person that will deny God no matter what. Now, this is what Moses feared, isn't it? Perhaps this is one of the reasons God told him ahead of time so that he wouldn't be surprised when this happened, right? Because this is hard to understand. Go preach, he's not going to listen. And this is what we have to take note of, don't we? Is why won't Pharaoh listen? It's not, look, God's not going, hey, Moses, I've looked into the future, and it doesn't look like Pharaoh's going to buy what you're selling, so just be warned, he's not going to listen. No. What does God say? This is the word of the Lord. I'm just the messenger. The Lord says, I will harden his heart. In other words, God's going to cause Pharaoh to sink deeper and deeper into unbelief as this process goes, so that God can bring his judgments. That's what he says. So the idea is this. Every time he fails to believe, then the judgment gets greater. He's going to unbelieve still, the judgment gets greater. And that process goes on until what? Until Pharaoh, until Egypt, and really all the known world at that time knows exactly who God is. See, there's the purpose. This is hard for us to understand, right? But God's purpose was so that the Egyptians would know that God is the Lord. That's the purpose. For the glory of God, of which all things, which we declare, right? What's the purpose of all things? To glorify God. We declare that, but do we believe that? That's what God says. This whole thing is going to go down just the way it is because of that. Notice, it was the same for his people. Remember the I wills that we love so much, and it's a beautiful thing. And one of those was, I will take you to be my people, and I will give you to myself to you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Same response here. I'm going to harden his heart. I will bring my judgments, and all of Egypt will know that what I am the Lord. One way or the other, everybody's going to know the Lord, and he will be glorified. That's the purpose of all things. It reminds you, doesn't it, of Paul. That's why it's akin to that when he says, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody's going to know that, right? But everybody's not going to know it the same way, right? So, by grace, if you know Jesus now and you bow now, you praise God. You know him as your people. He's taken you. He's given himself to you. And you know him now as Lord, as Christ. Praise God. He's your Savior, right? But if you do not bow the knee now, if you do not believe now, one day his judgments will come and you will know him as Lord. There will be no doubt. And God will be glorified. So I pray that if you don't know Jesus as Lord now, that you turn and you believe and you trust now, because one day you will. You can harden the heart all day long. One day you will know him as Lord. He promises that's the purpose of all things. Will you not trust the Lord now? While you have time? Trust. Bow the knee before God. Right? This is what Christ calls for. He is Lord. He's God. Bow the knee. Trust Him. You don't want to meet Him in judgment. Because you will bow the knee. I've talked to people. This is always the crux of the issue. I just don't know. I'm having a hard time believing this or believing that. And when you get to the issue, it's like, I don't want to give up my life. I don't want to bow the knee. Bow the knee now. Know that He's Lord. Know His grace. Know His mercy. Trust Him. Or else the hand of judgment will come. And you will know Him then. This is what Moses didn't get. It's what Moses didn't get. And I understand it. Because I'd have a hard time with it. Moses, God says, go and preach. Moses says, I'm not skilled at speech. How will he listen? And God says, Moses, he's not supposed to listen. you get that? See, Moses is a bit of a pragmatist. He's being pragmatic here. Right? Why? Because he thought the success of the mission was if Pharaoh believed. See it? We live there, don't we? Well, I'll go tell, and it's successful if they believe. And I get that. I have the same heart because we want to see the grace of God come. But God reveals that is not always the success of the mission. You see? See, the problem with that is God's sovereign over hearts. We're not. Faith, it takes faith to be saved. And faith's what? A gift of God. Right? And so we're failing to see that. This is why, brothers and sisters, it's important, going back to the beginning, why it's important if we're delivering the message, don't go to the right or the left. Don't take anything off and don't add anything, because the success of the mission is not whether they believe, it's whether you deliver the message that God's told you to deliver. That's what makes it successful. That's what Moses was missing. Right? God's sovereign over hearts. He's revealed that here. And this is what's hard for us to come to grasp with, right? God's sovereign, yes, He is, but not my heart. Is He sovereign over your heart? No. That's up to me. God's given me that ability, that gift. He wouldn't do that. No, God's sovereign over everything. He's either sovereign or He's not, and He's sovereign over hearts. He's revealed that here, right? He's revealed that. He was the one who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's just one example of that principle that, did you remember, Paul uses Pharaoh as the example to spell out sovereignty and salvation in Romans chapter 9. You know, Pharaoh is the example of, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I will harden whom I will harden. See, that's God's territory. That's not ours. God's revealed that. Wow, His wisdom is beyond me. I got to trust this God. Now you say, well, Pharaoh hardened his heart too. Says that later on. Well, yes, he did. The last thing I want to do is give you the impression that Pharaoh is a man just dying to trust God, and God just won't let him. No, I'm going to harden your heart, Pharaoh. I know you want to trust me, but I'm not going to let you. That person never exists. Pharaoh hardened his heart right along with it, because Pharaoh did what he wanted to do. He hated God, wanted nothing to do with Him. Right? From our perspective, it looks like personal choice, and it is. Right here, from our perspective, we're here horizontal here on the earth, man to man, woman to woman. It's our choice. But behind that, God's in control of that. How does He do that? I don't know. You know, I have my theories. I think, really, all He has to do to harden Pharaoh's heart is take, we talked about it in Sunday school. All He has to do, here's God's hand of grace. And all He has to do is go, take it back. And Pharaoh will naturally go into hardness. This is what we don't want to come to terms to with ourselves. We don't want to come to terms with that. We're that wicked. But we are. You think of the worst person in history, the most evil person you've ever thought of, Hitler, you know, Genghis Khan, Stalin, Lenin, or whoever. Right? We don't want to come to terms that if God's grace was not on us, we would be there and worse. We would. You would. Oh, no, I'm not that bad of a person. Yes, you are. Your sin is that bad, which is within you. Right? And the only reason we're not worse is God's grace. Right? And that's true whether you're lost or saved. We who know Jesus have had God's saving grace. That's the greatest grace I know of. But there's this thing called restraining grace that keeps all mankind from going down into the pits of wickedness. And that's all you've got to do to Pharaoh. So we got to see man's hearts rightly, especially if you're called to be the messenger of his word. Because let me tell you what, two things. One, this will free you. And we need freeing. This will free you from being a slave to man's expectations of what's success and what's not. Right? Because with man, it's always how many, how big, how much. That's what success is. God must be with you. Poor Noah, as we talked about. Right? This will free you from that. It's like, no, God's called me to go preach. I'll go preach. God will take care of the rest. Two, and here's the flip side of this. This will help you tremendously in those times when you want to get discouraged and woe is me because people aren't believing. You know, there are times when people just don't believe. And we talked about it in Sunday school again, man. If you missed it, you missed a lot. We were there and we talked about, you know, it says that as time goes, we're going to return to those times like the days of Noah when people won't listen at all. God tells us this, but we don't listen like Moses. And we think, where's your grace, God? We want his grace. I, above all people, want to see people saved. I want to see his grace come. And when people won't listen to the gospel and they refuse it, I get discouraged. I'm human. And I get, you know, God, where's your grace? You said, where's your grace? It's hard. This helps ground you, right? And remember the truth. You know, even, I got a quote here from Martin Luther. Even Martin Luther, he was grappling with this. You could see this in this quote of this idea that God would tell Moses to go preach to somebody that he's going to determine not listen. So listen to this quote. He says, "The question is, why God bids Moses preach, although he himself says Pharaoh will not listen to you? Is it not foolish for someone to say to another, 'Friend, preach to Pharaoh, but be advised that he will not listen to you, for I intend to harden him'? I would refuse such an assignment from anyone and would say, 'Preach yourself.' But the answer is, we are bidden to preach. We are not bidden to justify people and make them pious. This thought should comfort all preachers and Christians, and everybody should pursue his calling and faithfully perform its duties. Only the word of God is entrusted to Moses, not the responsibility of making Pharaoh soft or hard by preaching. The word is entrusted to him. This is God's will, and this is the word he is to proclaim, even though no one may listen to him. If I could be moved by the fact that my word and sermon are despised, I suppose I would stop preaching. But God says, go on, Moses, preach." Sometimes you just got to say, God says, go on and preach. So you go on and preach. Knowing, trusting this God of grace. He knows what he's doing. We see our hearts wrong. We see our abilities wrong. Lastly, I want you to see, we see our ages wrong. Last two verses. So Moses and Aaron did it as the Lord commanded them. Thus they did. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now first notice verse 6. It's a real quick verse, but it's important. Everything God told them to do, guess what they did? They did it. See, here's the point. Moses was resistant. God had to gently get him where he needed to be, but he's a faithful servant. He and Aaron both were faithful. They were successful, not because Pharaoh listened. He didn't listen, but because they did what God told them to do. There's the success of following God. Just do what he says do and trust him for everything else, right? We get in the way all the time thinking, well, this is what should happen and let me try to make it happen and let me... No. Listen to God. Do what he says do. Now, notice, how old were Moses and Aaron when they did what God told them to do? Moses was 80, Aaron was 83. Is this old? This is old from our viewpoint, isn't it? This is well past retirement age. Man, Moses himself said in Psalm 90 and verse 10, you don't expect, man shouldn't expect to live past 80. So this is old. And the truth is, in our viewpoint, in our culture, we think the closer we get to 80, the less we got to offer the Lord. But look at Moses and Aaron. They're just getting started. They are just getting to the point where God's going to use them most. God's going to glorify them through Himself through them at 80 and beyond. I like what Dwight Moody said about Moses. I love this quote. He says, Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's court thinking he was somebody. 40 years in the desert learning he was nobody. And 40 years showing what God can do with a somebody who found out he was a nobody. Ain't that the truth? It makes sense. Probably our most useful years to the Lord are at the end of our life because it took us that long to figure out we're nobody. And only God can do something through us. You know? This is what John the Baptist said. I got to decrease, he's got to increase. What takes us forever to learn that? So here's the truth. We see our ages wrongly. We think we're too old to serve the Lord. Right? That's just not true. Now, perhaps how we serve him changes, but God's going to give you opportunities to serve him the way he wants, and it's no less important. If it's of the Lord, it's of the Lord, right? If you're his, you serve him, and you leave the rest up to him. So I want to end it with just two exhortations to two groups of people here. All right, very quick. First, to the younger crowd. We're going to split them up like Paul does in Titus. First, to the younger crowd. Don't see the older and the elderly among you the way the world sees them and the way the world wants you to see them. Don't see them as irrelevant. Don't see them as not valuable, out of date, out of touch. See them as what they are, the gift of God to you, as a vast source of wisdom and knowledge that they have gained through a long life on this earth. And seek that wisdom and knowledge from them. Okay? Now for the older crowd. You ready? Do not, please, do not develop the retirement mentality in the church. Do not develop the, well, I've done that, I've served my time, now I'm going to let the younger people do it. Retirement is not biblical in his church. If you're still living, he's got a purpose for you and he wants you to serve. So please, don't develop this, I'll let the younger people do it. Look at Moses and Aaron. 80 and 83. Serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your strength, however he tells you to do it, until he takes you home. And if you get tempted, right? If you get tempted to think, I just don't have anything left, what could God do with me? Just remember Moses and ask God to show what he can do with a somebody who's learned that they're a nobody. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you're sovereign, you're perfect, you're good. Everything about you is good and perfect. And Father, we in our imperfectness, in our sinfulness, in our finiteness, we're so small and limited in anything we know. God, sometimes it takes you to Show us what's true from your perspective. So God, I pray that you would this morning do that through your word. Just help us to understand you more and understand ourselves more before you so that we might live more rightly according to your will, according to your purpose. Show us what you do and why you do it, and help us just to hear and believe and trust. You know, just to trust you and obey you. That's what you call, that's what success is, and what we need to see is success. Everything else is left up to you. Help us to do that. So tempting not to. So tempting to grab it and try to do it ourselves. Father, you clearly are behind all of this. So help us just to trust, to walk by faith, therefore know you and give you glory. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.